Thursday, August 14th. Memorial of St. Maximilian Kolbe, Martyr. The first reading from Joshua chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, 11, and 13 through 17. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know I am with you, as I was with Moses. Now command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come to a halt in the Jordan when you reach the edge of the waters." So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that there is a living God in your midst, who at your approach will dispossess the Canaanites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth will precede you into the Jordan. When the soles of the feet of the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord of the whole earth, touch the water of the Jordan, it will cease to flow, for the water flowing down from upstream will halt in a solid bank." The people struck their tents to cross the Jordan, with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant ahead of them. No sooner had these priestly bearers of the Ark waded into the waters at the edge of the Jordan, which overflows all its banks during the entire season of the harvest, than the waters flowing from upstream halted, backing up in a solid mass for a very great distance indeed, from Adam, a city in the direction of Zarethan, while those flowing downstream toward the salt sea of the Arabah disappeared entirely. Thus the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel crossed over on dry ground, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord remained motionless on dry ground in the bed of the Jordan until the whole nation had completed the passage. Haydock Commentary. God made known his choice of the governors of his people by miracles until the days of Saul. In effect, we hardly find any before that time whose public authority was not sanctioned by some prodigy. It is probable that as soon as the priests touched the waters, they halted till the bed of the river was presently dried up, and then they placed themselves in the middle of it close to the raging billows, which, rising up like mountains, were stopped in their current and forced to retire backwards to their source. Joshua gives the people two signs of the divine protection: the destruction of the Canaanite nations and the miraculous division of the Jordan. And all, both friends and enemies, might be convinced that the Lord was with his people and their present leader as he had been with Moses. No miracle could have been more suitable for the occasion, none more convincing or useful than the dividing of the Jordan River. It would naturally inspire the Israelites with confidence at the revival of the miracles wrought 40 years before, when their fathers and some of themselves had passed the Red Sea in a similar manner. At the same time, it would fill the Canaanites with still greater dismay and teach them that all resistance would prove fruitless. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to chapter 19, verse 1. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed, and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart." When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. Haydock Commentary. St. Peter knew the Jews to be much given to revenge. He therefore thought it a great proof of superior virtue to be able to forgive 7 times. It was for this reason he proposed this question to our Lord, who, to show how much he esteemed charity, immediately answered not only 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. He does not mean to say that this number must be the bounds of our forgiving. We must forgive to the end and never take revenge, however often our brother offend against us. There must be no end of forgiving poor culprits that sincerely repent. To recommend this great virtue more forcibly, he subjoins the parable of the king taking his accounts. And from the great severity there exercised, he intimates how rigid will his heavenly Father be to those who forgive not their enemies. 70 times 7 times is put by way of an unlimited number to signify we must pardon private injuries, though even so often done to us. When our brother sins against us, we must grieve for his sake over the evil he has committed, but for ourselves we ought greatly to rejoice, because we are thereby made like our heavenly Father, who bids the sun to shine upon the good and the bad. But if the thought of having to imitate God alarm us, though it should not seem difficult to a true lover of God, let us place before our eyes the examples of his favorite servants. Let us imitate Joseph, who, though reduced to a state of the most abject servitude by the hatred of his unnatural brethren, yet in the affliction of his heart employed all his power to succor them in their afflictions. Let us imitate Moses, who after 1,000 injuries raised his fervent supplications on behalf of his people. Let us imitate the blessed Paul, who, though daily suffering 1,000 afflictions from the Jews, still wished to become an anathema for their salvation. Let us imitate Stephen, who, when the stones of his persecutors were covering him with wounds, prayed that the Almighty would pardon their sin. Let us follow these admirable examples. Then shall we extinguish the flames of anger. Then will our Heavenly Father grant us the forgiveness of our sins through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. So says St. John Chrysostom. The huge amount owed by the servant was 10,000 talents, amounting to millions of pounds sterling, 740,000 times as much as his fellow servant owed him. In this parable, the master is said to have remitted the debt, and yet afterwards to have punished the servant for it. God does not act in this manner with us. But we may here observe, once for all, that in parables, diverse things are only ornamented to the parable itself, and a caution and restriction is to be used in applying them. God will not revoke a pardon once granted, for this would be contrary to his infinite mercy, and his works are without repentance. It means that God will not pardon, or rather that he will severely punish the ingratitude and inhumanity of the man, who, after having received from God the most liberal pardon of his grievous transgressions, refuses to forgive the slightest offense committed against him by his neighbor, who is also a son of God. This ingratitude may justly be compared with the 10,000 talents, as every grievous offense committed against God exceeds in an infinite degree any offense against man. This forgiveness must be real, not pretended, and it must be from the heart, and not in word and appearance only. It must sacrifice all desire of revenge, all anger, hatred, and resentment at the shrine of charity.